Well, today we're beginning a brand new series on the book of Genesis, and I'm really, really excited about this. And I can't wait to share with you what God has given to me, and even that which he's given to me that I don't even know that he's given to me yet. But I want you to know that today I'm going to be speaking to everybody, but I'm really going to be focusing on a group of kids over here, because they're living this stuff every day. And when we talk about creation, when we talk about how the world began, they're taught something different than what we're teaching here today. You need to understand that. And that's one of the reasons why I want to start a Christian school here one day, because I want our kids to grow up knowing the truth of God's word. Now, you may think, okay, what's the big deal? We're all fine. Well, we'll find out, okay? We'll find out. But I know what it's like, even in a Christian school, when I had to teach earth science. Now, I know what they're teaching. And I want you to know that I believe that today, for them, is critical. And for all of us, because we start at the beginning. So in the last few weeks, I've gotten a familiar text, and it goes something like this. Maybe you've gotten it. Did you feel that? How many of you have gotten that? I mean, it's like, did you feel that? Well, on the west side, I didn't feel a whole lot of anything, but I do understand. We've been having earthquakes lately, haven't we? And if you don't know, there is a fault line that goes through the state of Kansas, so that's why. But it's interesting because if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, but on December the 30th at 5:04 a.m., we had an earthquake that measured 3.8 on the Richter scale. Now, I got to tell you, when the very earth that I'm standing on, the foundation that I'm standing on is shaking, I don't know about you, that makes me a little nervous. I know what we're supposed to do in a tornado. I know what we even do in a hurricane. I know what we do when the storm's really bad. I have no clue what you do in an earthquake except run and say, get out of my way, right? I understand you're supposed to stand in a door jam, right? Well, when you're almost 6'8" and that door jam is hitting you in the top of the head, you tell me there's got to be something better to do. But you know what? There's a reason why we get unsure of ourselves, or we get shaky when the very foundation beneath us is moving. And here's why. Look at this. Whoops, I went too far. Nothing can be stronger than the foundation that is built on, right? So I'm standing on this platform, and when Ben and all of his team put this together, I come out here and I do this. I want to make sure it's sturdy. Why? Because I want whatever is underneath me to be solid, rock solid, right? When you go in maybe a new home or whatever, and you walk in the kitchen and you stomp on that floor and it's solid, you feel good, right? We want a strong foundation. Well, look at this. You've seen that picture before, right? I guarantee you, if it wouldn't be for man intervening on this, that building's going over. Guess what the problem was? It was a foundation problem. Do you realize that Jesus talks about the foundation of our faith? And he has something to say about it that we need to learn. Listen to what he says here. He says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock, though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. What's Jesus saying here? Here's what he's saying. Your faith has to be built on a firm foundation. Because if it's not, your faith will be in vain. So that's why we're beginning in the book of Genesis. Because in the book of Genesis, we get our foundation. And I want you to understand that this book, in fact, the very first 11 chapters, this is the battleground for all the rest of the world. ever since Charles Darwin, and skeptics and unbelievers that are even living today, in their minds, they believe and they've launched the attack on the Christianity that science has proven that the first 11 of chapters of Genesis could never happen. In fact, they go as far to say as, how could anybody with some type of intelligence believe in a literal Adam and Eve? Who could believe in a literal Garden of Eden? Or who could believe in a talking serpent? Who believes in a worldwide flood? Who believes in a Tower of Babel? And that's how we got people groups, and they spread all different parts of the earth. And my friends, here's the saddest part. A lot of Christians, when they hear about the book of Genesis, in their minds, they have a mental asterisk by Genesis, because there are some parts of it that they just find hard to believe. It's foolishness to them. So my dear friends in Christ, I want you to hear me. And you kids, I want you to hear me. I believe in a literal book of Genesis. I believe that Adam and Eve were two real people. I believe that the serpent spoke. I believe that there was a worldwide flood. And I believe in the story of the Tower of Babel. And the reason that I believe that is because I believe the Bible is infallible. I believe that the Bible is without error. And I believe that the Bible is God's word. Today, we're all going to take a test. And I'm not going to give you the test, but God is. It's a test that we have to take over and over and over again. And here's the test. You have to answer this question. Do you believe God is? Do you believe God is? Now, I get a lot of questions at times about the book of Genesis. Did Adam have a belly button? I really don't know. Who was Cain's wife? Is the world thousands of years old, or is it billions of years old? And does the Bible have anything to say about that? And yes, it does. Is it true that a worldwide flood made the world the way it is? Those are some of the questions that we're going to answer. But I want you to know that science doesn't prove the Bible, because the Bible came first. And God created science. So we should not be afraid of it, because the Bible proves science. And so as we take this journey, I want you to understand, this is why we're beginning in the book of Genesis, because this is where it all begins. And if you can't believe what God said in Genesis, how are you going to believe what he did throughout the rest of the Bible? If you can't believe that God spoke and everything came into creation, how are you going to believe that when Jesus spoke, Lazarus was raised from the dead? That's why we're starting here. And I believe that today, in these next few minutes, lives are going to be changed for eternity simply because of the test that they're going to take. And they're going to get the answer right, because I'm going to give you the answer from God's word. You ready? This means yes. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, I believe that the Word of God is exactly what it says it is, the Word of God. Now I pray that you would allow that Word to speak to each of us as you see fit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Genesis is an eyewitness account, okay? Anybody understand that? The book of Genesis is an eyewitness account, and you may ask, so who's the eyewitness? And here's the answer. God is the eyewitness to the creation of the universe. I'm going to say that again. God is the eyewitness to the creation of the universe. And I'm going to stop right there, because right there is where everybody gets in a tizzy. The very first four words in the Bible, in the beginning, God, okay? Those first four words, you have to choose, do you believe in God? Because if you do, then here's what you believe. You believe that God is the creator of all the universe. You believe that God is sovereign. And you believe that God reigns supreme over everything. But that also means that God, you believe that God created us. And if God created us, he owns us. And if he owns us, we are accountable to him. Didn't realize you believed all that, did you? But that's what that means. So when people say, my body is my own, I can do with it what I want. No, that's not correct. God created you. Your body belongs to him. And he has determined what is right and what is wrong for your body. And the reason? Because he created it. Now, over the next few weeks, there are three questions that I want to answer, okay? Three questions. And you need to know the answer to these three questions because it'll determine on where you spend eternity. So here's the first one. Where did I come from? You have to know that. You need to know, where did you come from? But you also need to know this. Why am I here? And then the third question that you need to understand is, where am I going? I want all of you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt the answer to all three of these. But here's the interesting thing about this. You can't know the answer to number three unless you know the answer to number two. And you can't know the answer to number two unless you know where you came from. And that's kind of where I want to focus today. So let's go back to Genesis 1, verse 1, and just read it together, okay? Can you read it with me, please? Here we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I want you to understand that nowhere in the Bible is there ever any question about the existence of God. The Bible never questions or asks the question, does God exist? What the Bible does do is this. What the Bible does is declare God is and that he created all things. So here's what the Bible asks you. Do you believe God is? That's where we have to start. God is the creator of all things. God has always been here. And before we can go on, you have to answer that question, do you believe that God is? Now, what I want to do for just a moment is, I want to lead you in a prayer. And maybe for some of you, and maybe some of you who are watching online, you may be in your kitchen, you may be in your room, you may be listening, and you've never really started with this question. But I want to answer this question because once we get this question, then everything after this will make sense. But if you don't get this question right, guess what? You're going to struggle. Now, I know some of you may be thinking, but, you know, how do I believe? Do I believe? I mean, how much do I have to believe? And here's what I want. It's not the amount you believe. It's just that you believe. And here's the other part of it. You don't need to understand it. My friends, there's no way you can understand it. We have finite minds. God is infinite. You will never be able to stand it. That's why God tells us that it's faith that saves. Think about this. Do you remember when Moses came to the burning bush? Remember? And when he was there, he was confused about what he was going to tell the people about who sent him. Do you remember what God told him? He said, tell them, I am sent you. Now think about that. What was God saying? God didn't say I was. He didn't say I will be. He says I am. In other words, I've always existed. Do you remember in the book of Genesis, a little bit later on, there's a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was called the father of the faith, remember? And God promised him, even when Abraham was old, he said, you're going to have a child. It'll be a child from your own body. And then God gave to him and his wife, he gave him Isaac. And remember when Isaac was a young man, do you remember what God said to Abraham? He said, Abraham, he said, I want you to take your son Isaac, the son whom you love, and I want you to take him to a mountain that I will show you, and I want you to sacrifice him on that mountain. That didn't make sense to Abraham. He didn't understand that. But what did he do? The Bible says he believed. Do you remember in the New Testament? There's a man who brought his child to Jesus, and he's begging Jesus, Jesus, please heal my child. And Jesus says, oh, it'll be done according to your faith. Man, if Jesus said that to me, I'd be like, what if I don't have enough faith? And that's exactly what the man said. And what did he say? Remember, he said, help my unbelief. You just have to believe. And so I want you to close your eyes and I want you to bow your heads with me right now. And maybe you've already made this decision, but I want you to be praying for those who haven't. And I want you once again to declare this decision before God. Here we go. Dear God, the fact that I'm even doing what I'm doing exhibits and demonstrates faith. I may not know who you are. I may not know a whole lot about you. But I want to say to you right now, I believe that you exist. I believe that God is. And so now I'm asking, speak to me. Speak to my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I want us all to say something together. And all we're going to simply say is this. I believe, let's say it together. Ready? I believe God is. Okay? Now we're going to say it all together. And say it like you mean it, because he's listening. Ready? I believe God is. And that's where it starts. All right, now, let's go to four things that I want to show you about Genesis 1:1. The first one is this. The universe had a definite beginning. The universe had a definite beginning. The Jews named the book of Genesis for its name, the beginning. That's what it is. What they are saying is that in the beginning, God. Matter is not eternal. The universe is not eternal. God is eternal. God always was. Well, who created God? Nobody created God because there was never a time when God was. God, or time is something that we see. We have a beginning and with an end. God is not bound by time. I know you're going, but that's God. He always was. Don't try and understand it. Just believe it. I want to show you something because people say, well, you know what? I think the world is millions and billions of years old. Okay? And I want you guys to listen to this, okay? They believe that, okay, so there were all these years, there was dinosaurs, and then all of a sudden, well, then man came to be. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Let me show you what it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 6. Oh, I just pulled my thing out, so I'm not going to find Mark. All right. Luke, keep coming. All right, here we go. Mark chapter 10, verse 6. Listen to what Jesus says about how the world began. All right, now there's a discussion about divorce and marriage, and they're trying to trap Jesus, and listen to what Jesus says. But Jesus responded, he wrote this command only as a concession to your hard hearts. Now listen to this. But God made them male and female. Now listen to this. From the beginning of creation. When your teacher tells you that the world was around for millions and billions of years and there were dinosaurs and then man came, according to the scriptures, that's not true. What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that at the beginning of creation, God created man and woman. Do you realize that 40% of all of our history is found in the book of Genesis? You realize that? 40% of the history of mankind is found in the book of Genesis. So the distance from Adam to Joseph is 2,400 years. It's the same distance from Joseph to Charlemagne. 40% of the history of mankind is in the book of Genesis. Isn't that amazing? And God tells us that in this book, guess what? It was at the beginning of creation that God created male and female. That tells you that as Christians, we believe in a young earth. Let's go on. Here's the second thing. The universe was created by God out of nothing. The universe was created by God out of nothing. So here's what I want to make sure that you understand this about this. When I grew up in a church where we always said the Apostles' Creed every week. From the time I was a little boy till the time I was older, every Sunday we would say the Apostles' Creed. Now, a creed is simply a statement of belief. This is the first part, the very first phrase of that Apostles' Creed, and here's what it says. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So I want you to think about this. This little boy by the name of Bobby Beckler, at the age of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, 9, and 10, every week heard the words, I believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. But my friends, I didn't just hear it, I saw it. I saw it in all of the people who were with me. All of the people who are standing to my right, I saw a doctor say it. I saw a professional athlete say it. I saw a mom say it. I saw someone who worked cleaning yards. All of them were saying this, I believe in God the Father Almighty. It wasn't just me. I was part of a family of believers. Now look at this next verse in Scripture, Psalm 147. He counts the stars and he calls them by name. Boy, this gets me excited. What's the most beautiful word that you like to hear? Your name, right? Bob. Forwards and backwards, it's spelled the same. That tells you about my intelligence. Some of you are thinking, oh yeah, he's right. No. Think about this. God created the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. Scientists tell us that there are 400 billion stars in the Milky Way. There are more than 100 billion galaxies, and each one of those galaxies has 100 billion stars. Did you hear what the Bible just said? God calls them by name. That's why the Bible says this. The handiworks declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Did you hear that? The world proclaims his handiwork. Now, you've heard me say this before, but you got to understand this, okay? The book of Romans tells us that there is no one in the world that will have an excuse as to say there is no God, right? This means yes. Why? Because the Bible tells us that the world screams out, creation screams out, there is a God. You know what people say to me sometimes? Pastor Bob, okay, so how am I supposed to know this God when I can't ever see him? And I want to tell you, I think that's a very good question, and there's an answer to that. Think about this. What about if you were to go to my house and I wasn't there? What would you be able to find out about me? You would go in my closet and you would see my shoes and you would say, this boy's got big feet. you would go and you would see my pants and you would say, boy, this is a long, tall drink of water. You would see my bed and you would think, man, that's a big bed. You would walk through the halls and in the rooms and you would see the pictures of the people who are dearest to me. You would also see pictures and scripture verses all over the house. And you would think, he must be a believer. You could go into the refrigerator and you could see my favorite foods. If you looked hard enough, you could find my secret hideaway where I stash all my snacks. And you could say, this guy has a sweet tooth. You go in the garage and you may see a pair of golf clubs. You say, this guy likes golf. You may go in the garage and you may see all the other things. You say, okay, I understand. This guy likes sports. Isn't it amazing what you could find out about me without even seeing me or knowing me? What you could find out about me by going to my house? The world is God's house. And God tells us that his fingerprints, his clues are everywhere. All you have to do is look. A husband and a wife come together and a baby is born. Have you ever looked at the baby's fingernails? Have you ever studied their eyelashes? Have you ever looked at their lips? All of these things proclaim there is a God. No snowflake is alike. Look at the mountains and the hills and the rivers and the valleys. God created all of that. Everything that here, that is here, gives us a clue to who God is. You can't tell me, my dear friend in Christ, that you can't go out into the world today and not see evidence of a creator who is a God of love in the world. I challenge you today, when you go out and when you leave here, I want you just to look up. Maybe it's a sunrise, maybe it's a sunset. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I don't know what it is. But ask God to speak to you through his creation. I promise you he will. And when he does, it'll be something that's special to you. For my wife, it's usually a rainbow. How is it that God speaks to you? God's fingerprints, his footprints are everywhere. Look at this. Hebrews 11 says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. You see, we make things all the time, but none of us ever create anything. You see, the word create means something that came from nothing. God created everything. Oh, we make stuff, but God creates. Here's the next one. We're almost done. Number three, all things owe their existence to God the Creator. I want you to think about this. This is what that means. It means this: God owns it all. God owns it all. And what I just said creates a lot of problems for a lot of people in the world. They don't like to hear that. God owns it all. You know why they don't like to hear that? Because they have a problem with the fact that God is sovereign. They don't want God to be sovereign. Because if they believe that God is sovereign, that means they believe that he's the creator. That means they believe that he created them, that he established what is right or wrong. And that also means this, and this is the part nobody can stand. That also means that they're accountable to him for everything they say and do. And that's the issue. People don't want to be accountable to anybody. But when you declare that God is, that's where we go. Look at this. Martin Luther wrote what is called the explanation of that first Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. This is what's called his first article. This is where he explains why that says what it says. And look at what it says. I love this. I believe that God has created me and all that exists, that he has given me and still preserves my body and soul, my eyes and ears and all my members, my reason and all the powers of my soul, together with food and raiment, home and family, and all my property, that he daily provides abundantly for all the needs of my life, protects me from all danger, and guards and keeps me from all evil, and that he does this purely out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me, for all which I am in duty bound to thank, praise, serve, and obey him. And I love those words. This is most certainly true. One last thing. Wisdom begins with Genesis 1:1. It all begins with God. Once you establish that, then everything after that will make sense. But it's either God or dirt. You either believe that God created the universe, or you believe in a mindless millions of years of evolution. You either believe that God created you, or you believe that nothing plus nothing equals something. One of my favorite examples of what happens when we are given a glimpse of this incredible universe occurred on Christmas Day, 1968. I know a lot of you weren't around then. But on this day, there were three men, Bill Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman. They were in the Apollo 8. They had just come around the dark side of the moon. And then they beheld the Earth. Listen to what they said.
We are now approaching lunar sunrise. And for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And divided the light from the darkness.
Isn't that amazing? First of all, to see God's creation from that part of the universe. And then what these three men, as they each memorized four verses, and that's what they said. My dear friends in Christ, I believe that God is. And I believe that he's the creator of all things. I believe that everything in this universe and on this earth are under his supreme authority, that he is sovereign. I believe he created me, and I believe he created you. And that means that I belong to him. So where did you come from? First question that we need to answer. You came from nothing, but God formed you. And when he created you, he looked upon you and he said, "That's good." That's good.